Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Moonsi, alongside me as always, the OG, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing beautiful. I got a lot of energy today.
Well, let's use that energy. And keep answering some of these questions that the Discord community have sent in. Once again, if you want your question answered, please do join the Discord server that is linked. It's the Hoop Genius Discord community. Great basketball fans in there, talking about basketball all day long. So another question we have we've got a whole bunch. I don't know where you want to start. We'll start with a fun one from LJC. Who are your top five best / favorite post scorers in NBA history? So we'll separate that into best as its own category, and then favorite, just in case there's any other names you want to throw in.
Slash, who are my favorites?
No. Post scorers. He said best / favorite. So let's do the best post scorers in NBA history. We'll go top five. So we'll start. Well, I think we have to start at one, because I'm taking Hakeem Olajuwon over anyone. Actually, that's a lie. Because Shaquille O'Neal and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are also... Kareem's got the unstoppable move, and Shaq can back down anyone, dunk them into oblivion. But talk to me, BJ. What's your top five?
Okay, post scores. Okay. All right, my favorite of all time is the late great Moses Malone. He was my favorite.
The chairman of the boards.
Yeah, he was, just the way he played, because he would shoot it because he knew he could go get it.
He's rebounding to himself.
Yeah.
Stat padding.
Well, I don't think it was stat padding. But he just had a feel. And he would just had a feel for it. So he was my favorite. Now, who is my...
Top five.
Top five. Okay. Kareem just had one shot that's just was unstoppable. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scored 38,000 points. You know, the second most points of all time, now right behind, you know, LeBron James, with one shot, one move.
Well, that's, he did more than just that one. In case you never watched Kareem play and you're listening to this, he didn't only do the skyhook, but it was a major part of his repertoire.
Oh, it was. And he had a counter to any way you tried to defend that. Mm-hmm. he had a drop step. He had the fake. He had the spin. But the skyhook was just an unstoppable move. Okay. Clearly, if you can average 50 points and 25 rebounds during a year, you're doing something. That's Wilt Chamberlain.
So you're talking about Wilt. But we're talking about just post scoring, not transition, not anything else.
I'm talking post.
You're throwing the ball down to them on the post.
I'm going to Wilt. And he led the league 1 year in assists.
Okay.
I'm going to say that again. Now, I know we...
At this point, I assume that Wilt Chamberlain has led the league in everything humanly possible. Because his numbers are just ridiculous.
That's just what I'm saying.
I assume he led the league in everything at one point.
And imagine what he would have scored in this generation with the way the game is played. He did this. He averaged 50 in that generation. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Too many distractions in this generation. There's way too many distractions. I see my brother Zion. I see my brother Ant Edwards. I see my brother Ja Morant.
Wilt is well documented. Some of them have extraordinary talent. He had extraordinary talent.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay. That's crazy.
Well documented. Okay. Three. You got a dream. Dream's movement, the way he played from the post, was just phenomenal. Like, mm-hmm. He's an unstoppable force. Four, you got to have a Diesel. Now, it's one thing about Diesel that I would like to say.
Shaquille O'Neal, for anyone who doesn't know.
Yes, yeah.
And the dream is Hakeem Olajuwon, if you didn't know.
And the one thing I would like to say about Shaq is, Shaq had way more skill than people gave him credit.
Mm-hmm.
But what I loved about Shaq was, he didn't bring it out until you forced him to do it. Like, he would just post up, post you deep, repost, and dunk on you. But if you took that away, he would every now and then he would show you something.
A little face up, little yeah. jab step, get a defender lean in.
Yeah, he would show it to you in a way that, you know, just because he was, you know, he was a load down there. The other player, you know,
there's a name that I think has to be in the top five, but go ahead.
Who is that?
I'm thinking of Kevin McHale.
Kevin McHale was incredible. Kevin McHale was incredible. Kevin McHale arguably had like some of the best footwork as far as the way he would play. Okay, Kevin McHale was but Kevin McHale wasn't a load. You know what I mean?
It was more finesse than force. You don't want to see him on the block.
Yeah, but you know, it was, you couldn't just dump it down there to him as a four or five against certain players. But for the most part, he had an advantage because he was taller than most, faster than most, and
He had the counters.
Yeah, he had the counters. But here's what I'm going to say. And again, Kevin McHale, in my humble, I'm saying this with humility, Kevin McHale was an incredible player. I mean, when I say good, he was incredible. But he never, ever, at least from what I saw when I played against him for many years, he wasn't the guy that was getting the double teams because he played
with Larry Bird on his team.
Yes. And that's a little different when you are getting doubled and triple teamed. So could you guard him one-on-one? No. No. But he never, ever had to, at least from what I could see. But again, I'm not saying it wasn't. But for what I could see for the years that I played against him, we never, ever doubled him and tripled him like we had to do with Larry Bird. Mm. But you knew he was a handful playing one-on-one. And he was an incredible player. I mean, he wasn't good. He was an incredible player. But the one player that is a handful and is a low was Tim Duncan. Because of his ability. Tim Duncan.
I think that's a solid top five.
Yeah, that's Tim Duncan was just. Now, there's so many other amazing players. You know.
Let's change it, right? Instead of saying the best, what about your favorites? Because there's a few names that I just like. Al Jefferson is not going to be in the conversation of the best post-up scorers ever. But I love watching Al Jefferson get the ball on the block.
Big Al was amazing. Big Al was an amazing player. You know, he really was.
He was kind of the last pure post scorer that we really had. Because think about it, we've not really had a pure
post.
I guess Zebo as well, but then even Zebo was shooting some of the threes.
Zebo. You know,
who are your favorites? I love this. Just random guys that are on the post.
Some of my favorites. Like I love C Webb. I love C Webb on the box. I love Rasheed Wallace on the box. Karl Malone, Charles Barkley. You know, and I go back to James Worthy. James Worthy was one of my favorites. It just on the box. You know, he could play from the box. People didn't realize Dominique played on the box. Okay. Here's a name that I saw. He gave us 50 one night on one leg. Bernard King.
Knicks legend. Okay.
Now, you talk about a player that knew how to play from the box. Alex English.
You gonna throw Patrick Ewing in there?
Patrick Ewing. You know, Patrick Ewing had a turnaround jump shot, but Patrick Ewing didn't really give you, he didn't give you the variety. You know what I mean? Patrick Ewing was, listen, Hall of Fame, da-da-da-da-da-da. However, you know, I'm saying guys that would give you that baby diaper face. You go, ooh, like a screw face. Like
that's the face you make when you would
get it in the post. There was the patience.
Talk about that turnaround, that just that turnaround jump shot on the box. Give me Kevin Garnett. Give me Dirk Nowitzki. If you're talking about turnaround fade.
Yeah, those guys, you know, Kevin was incredible. But, you know, he wasn't like a score. You know what
no,
I mean?
No. But when he went to that turnaround fade, first of all, that ball is so high up, no one's even got a chance of contesting it.
And more times than not, it goes. Rashid, I loved his. I loved, played for Portland too. What was his name?
LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yep.
Nice turnaround. Yep. Yeah, LaMarcus had a nice turnaround. But if you're saying turnaround up high, no, there was a guy named Jack Sigma used to shoot it up high.
Yep. My team legend from NBA 2K.
Yeah, you know.
They know about him.
You know, Robert Parrish shot it up high. One of my favorites, one of the most awkward shots. I know he's going to listen and he's going to say, man, my shot's not awkward. Is Bill Cartwright.
Shots of the OG.
Yeah, Bill Cartwright in New York was a 20-point game score.
How about this, though? Let's talk about guards on the post. Because that's me. This is my bag. Now we're talking about. Andre Miller. I'm talking about.
Okay.
It could be Sean Livingston. It could be Sam Cassell. Of course, Kobe and MJ.
Yeah.
Of course, Kobe and MJ. Kyrie's nice with it when he catches the ball on a post up.
Yeah.
Which guards you think are the best doing work in the post?
Well, one of the best that I've seen, right? I'm sure there's many others. One of the best I've seen was Mitch Richmond.
Mm.
Mitch Richmond, there's guys that go to the post, but then there's like loads. You know what I mean? When there's a load, like Tim Hardaway was a load. He would go in the post.
Yeah, he's strong.
Yeah, Mitch Richmond.
You can see GP, Gary Payton posting up.
Gary Payton, now that's a good name. Now, Gary Payton was a low. Now he could go in the post and play from the post. Now the one who gave in my era the most problems was Magic Johnson.
Yeah, but he's like six whatever as a point guard.
But it was just he could operate from the post. See, I'm not talking about a guy who can just score from the post. I'm talking about who you can actually operate and play through. Mm. Like Mitch Richmond was a load. Okay, that was part of the. Tim Hardaway, his first, I'm going to say 5 years in the league, Tim Hardaway would go to the post and he could play from there.
Okay.
Now he knew.
Because he's known for the crossover and playing that
run for the crossover.
TMC.
But truly, Tim Hardaway could play from there. Gary Payton could play from the post. Okay. Sean Livingston was never big enough to play from the post, but he had an advantage based on. If he was, 6'7" and you were 5'11", he had a, shot, but he couldn't just bully you. Like Tim Hardaway could bully you.
What about Mark Jackson?
Action was a problem from the post because he could pass from the post. But at least in my guarding him, I wasn't worried about him scoring 20 points. Like the other guys from the post.
Yeah, who would post you up and you think, oh,
Magic was like, there was
just Magic.
Yeah, he was just too big. Magic,
but no one else.
No one where I really, I mean, well, I was like 6'3". I was 6'2", 6'3". So I could, I could contest down there. I never ever had to like get a Gary Payton, I knew was a problem from the post.
Because
he was
Kidd?
Bigger than me. I wasn't worried about Jason. I was worried about him.
Later in his
Jason
career.
Jason Kidd was bigger than me, stronger than me, but I didn't worry about him scoring. Like he wasn't a guy who wanted to score from the post. You follow me?
He's trying
Gary
to play
Payton. Me. Yeah, Gary Payton would take you down there to punish you.
Okay. So let me ask you this now.
Yes.
In today's NBA, give me your top five post scorers.
Kawhi Leonard is a problem. Mm. Like I look at, he's a problem.
Well, let's start with the bigs first.
Well, I just
or are we just doing it all in one?
Yeah, just all in one.
Okay, Kawhi Leonard, all in one. Go ahead.
Jokic is a problem.
Jokic has to be on this.
Embiid is a problem.
Embiid
from the post. Okay, Giannis is a problem because he wants to bully you.
Yeah,
he's a problem.
Alperen Sengun.
I wouldn't say he's a problem, but I'm gonna tell you.
No, you gotta watch more Rockets games.
Okay,
you gotta watch more Rockets games.
That's fine. And the reason he's not a problem because he can't really shoot over the top of me. Like he's got moves, but he can't just turn around and shoot on me. Like, I want a guy, he touches the ball, he's open.
Mm.
That's a problem. You know, like, it's hard when you're defending someone when you know they're open once they get the ball. If you got to do a move, I still got a chance.
Mm.
Okay. Sengun is a tough guard, but he's got to do something.
Yeah.
He can't just go.
But he's highly skilled. We talk about skills in the post. I don't know if many players have the same repertoire.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you someone who I think is a problem, but I can't believe I'm saying it, but I think he's a problem. Is Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson.
Yes. Now, at first I was like, he's too small to be like a problem. But he plays the game with a level of patience that I think you get nervous when he catches the ball. Because he's not catching the ball to pass it. You follow me? You follow what I'm saying? Like, he catches the ball and you're like, okay, he's just like I'm playing against Mark Jackson, for instance. Mark is catching it to pass it. Jason Kidd is catching it to pass it.
Brunson trying to score that thing.
No, he's not trying. He's scoring that thing.
Do you know who I like seeing on the post?
Who's that?
Jrue Holiday. When you put any guard that's weak on him and you let him get to that post, goodbye. He's too strong for them.
I like him in the post, but he doesn't have Jalen Brunson's mentality from the post. Jalen Brunson trying to get you. He'll hit you for 50 if you let him. This is what makes
But you say that you can't say Sengun because he doesn't have the advantage when he catches the ball and it's a shot. Jalen Brunson's smaller than most people that guard him.
Single again, what I've seen.
No, this is more Jalen of a question Brunson, of why is Jalen Brunson an exception to that policy rather than anything to do with Single?
Because Jalen Brunson has done it against bigger players. I don't know how he's doing this. He shoots over the top of people. I don't know how
that spin. He has that spin when he gets a foot in the paint and he has that spin. It's crazy.
I don't know what, like, I do know this because I asked every guard. I go, how's he getting open? Well, he does have an advantage. He's left-handed. So playing left-handed is an advantage, okay? Because most of the guys are right-handed, so you're used to defending, and then he comes in with the left hand. Mm. So you have to, you know, the way you defend him. The one thing they all say is he plays up under you, kind of like Mitch Richmond and Tim Hardaway. He plays up under you. So now you have to stay in a position. You have to squat down to get him because he's such a load. And then he bumps you off, and then he plays. So Jalen Brunson from the post, he's low. Julius Randle from the post.
Do you want to see the stats from the playoffs last season? Most points scored from post-ups, according to NBA.com tracking data, which is not the most reliable. I have to put that disclaimer in there.
Let me hear it.
Embiid, 7.7 points a game. Bam Adebayo, 6.6. Nikola Jokic, 6.4. JV, Jonas Valanciunas, 5.8, and Bobby Portis with 5.5 a game. Then you've got Pascal Siakam, who has that lethal spin move. LeBron James, as he's matured in his career, his post-game has improved. He went to learn that from Hakeem Olajuwon. Carl Anthony Towns, Ivica Zubac, Anthony Davis. Kristaps Porzingis in that finals game, where anytime there was a smaller defender on him, he just went to the high post and turned around a shot jumper over them. Was insane. Paolo Banchero, Jason Tatum, Brook Lopez, Jalen Brunson's up there on the list as well. If we take that and go back to the regular season, though, and we look at it across that, Jokic is the leader, then Embiid, then Anthony Davis, then Porzingis, and then Bam Adebayo rounds out the top five. Alperen Sengun is sixth, then Julius Randle, Giannis, Jaren Jackson Jr., Pascal Siakam, Bobby Portis once again, but he has the advantage he's playing against mostly bench units. Wembanyama, 2.9 points a game out of post, which is the same as Karl Anthony Towns and Pascal Siakam, just ahead of Vucevic, Tatum, DeRozan, LeBron, Zion, so on and so forth. And of course, we can't talk about the post without Domantas Sabonis, because so much of their stuff operates off the elbow when he catches the ball there, even if he's not always a good scorer.
Yeah, Sabonis, you know who, and
Doncic, we forgot to mention, of course.
Yeah, Luka is, but Luka doesn't really.
He doesn't go to it, but I wish he would go to it more.
Yeah. Okay. So, one of my favorites from this generation is Valanciunas.
Yeah.
Big fella.
Yep.
Because I love the way he wiggles down there. He wiggles. He wiggles down there in the post. He wants to hit you. And he wants to bang bodies.
He's got strength. He wants to hit you with a fake.
I like that. Okay, I like that. And I like the way he plays. So he's like my favorite. You know, he's like my favorite of this generation. Now, it's one player that I wish would listen to this podcast today. And his name is Zion. Because Zion...
I'll let him know.
Zion, if he were in our generation, if he were, you know, somehow, whatever, I was able to, I don't know him, but he is a more athletic version of Charles Barkley, and he's left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
He should be a major problem from the post, and then extend your game. I think it would be so intensive
on his joints that he's
Mo, when I saw him live for the very first time, you know, as you know, Mo and I talk about it, I love to scout.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was the most impressive thing about him?
Go on.
It's his second jump.
Yeah.
I've never seen a player with a second jump that's better than his first jump.
It's like springs.
Mo, I've never seen a player. His reaction to his second jump, if he's jumping 40 on the first jump, he's jumping 45 on the second jump. Why he's not playing from the post is beyond
me. Now Jonas Valanciunas isn't on the Pelicans anymore.
I'm looking at who's the center on the rotation. Post.
What are they saying? Eves Missy, Daniel Tice. I think Zion's going to get more looks from the post. Because before, when they were playing with JV, he wasn't getting those looks. But now he should have more space to operate from there.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. But I'm putting him on the post. Like he's one of those guys I'm looking at going, you know what? I'm going to write your scouting report for you. We are going to the post and you are going to double.
And he's got the speed as well as the strength. So if he catches it and he goes for a quick spin off the post, he's got that. And he can rise up and dunk it. But he's also got the strength to be able to back guys down, get them thrown off balance, and then go to whatever move he wants.
He's left-handed.
Yeah.
He's just such an awkward player. And
he's a very underrated passer as well.
Yes. And Charles Barkley, I'm saying, and I know it can be done. I saw Charles Barkley. I saw him do it. I saw Charles dominate the game from that position. And he's a bigger version of that. A bigger, more athletic version than that. And Charles was a super athlete. But this guy is just... I mean, he's, you know, but I can't believe he's not on our list.
Mm. Any other names? And I love, by the way, how niche this question was from LJC. And only real basketball fans are really going to appreciate this conversation.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure, you know, okay. I'm going to tell you who else. You want me to tell you who else is on our list?
Great post players or players that need to post up more?
No, great post players.
Okay.
Shea
Gilgeous Alexander.
Yes.
He's got the footwork.
I would look at him in today's game the way smaller guards looked at Gary Payton because of his size.
Yeah, he's got the height advantage on most players.
And he's trying to score. And he's got the attitude. You know what I mean? He's got the attitude where he's not going down there, double me so I can post it. No, he's trying to go through you. He punishes smaller guards. Okay, he punishes them. Better offensive player than Gary, but same aggressive mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I would put him right up there with Jalen Brunson as the two guards that I would say, if I were coaching, I would go, when they go to the post, we have to give them the ultimate respect because no guard can handle those guys from the post. And they could beat you from the post. Both of them are that good and that strong, and one has more size than the other. But
do you want to know? Guards. Speaking of favorite post players, do you want to know who led the league in points per possession when it came to post ups last season in the NBA? You will never guess. Well, no, it's one of my favorites, but it's like a low key player. It's not a superstar. But one of my favorite players.
You know, you know who would do something like that because he's so efficient is probably DeMar DeRozan. I'm just guessing.
Xavier Tillman. led the league in points per possession from post-ups last season.
Interesting.
Kyrie Irving's pretty high up on the points per possession as well. A few other random names that are in there is Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk's in there twice for Utah and for Toronto. Kevin Love in his prime. How about that? Not Kevin Love anymore, but Kevin Love, when he was in Minnesota, he was getting games with 30 ball. And 30.
Yeah, yeah.
That was before he went to Cleveland and became a three-point shooting spacing big man. It's it's over there. Al Horford doesn't post up a lot, but when he does, he does a decent job. KD, of course, we can't not mention KD because that's
well, KD, KD. I would love to see KD just play the whole year as a small forward so that he can really take advantage of his ability to play from the post, but against people that weigh around the same weight he weighs. You know, what he does, when he plays at the four, he has to go to the perimeter.
Do you know who I like?
To do that.
Jaylen Brown. Because Jaylen Brown has mastered the up and under with the step through move. And you saw it in the finals, that up and under where he just gets them off and then he just takes that extra step through and then finishes.
I like that. That's a good call. Jaylen Brown is a good name. That's a good name.
Yeah. Although this is all a pipe dream. I doubt NBA teams are going to be implementing more and more post-ups. They're going in the opposite direction. But that was a great conversation. Let's finish off with another question. Another question from this. It's a funny one from Mr. Andy Williams. He says, is the Lakers the first time that the coach is the best three-point shooter on the team?
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
That's a valid one. Well, he did send in an alternative question because he did fear this response from you. He said, is OKC's model of rebuilding replicable or did they just get a steal? When I think about that, the OKC team right now is built around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who they got in a trade because Kawhi Leonard decided to leave the defending champions to go back home to LA and forced the LA Clippers to trade for Paul George, which then netted them in return Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all of these draft picks. So it's a pretty unique circumstance.
Here's what I'm going to say about this rebuild. Okay. Every team has the same formula. Let's just call it what it is. They're going to, in the rebuild, it's about tanking to receive a high draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but here's the thing I'm going to give Sam Presti credit on. Sam Presti utilizes every aspect of how to acquire a player as part of his rebuild, not just the draft. Most of us just focus on the draft, trust the process, for instance. But a true rebuild should focus on the draft. That's one aspect of it. Trades, that's another aspect of it. Free agency is another aspect. And then the most important aspect of this, which one of those players is going to develop and actually become the player and take that word potential off their name? Now, that's what I got to give the OKC Thunder credit on. So let's go through that again. The draft, trades, free agency, and developing from within. Now, when one of those players evolves, don't forget, they acquired Shai Alexander in a trade. But Shai Alexander developed once he got there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't really know how you're going to get that player. But when you see him, you got to identify him and you got to get him.
Yeah.
So we want to focus in on all of the draft picks and all of those things. He just traded away one of his lottery picks, which was
Josh Giddey.
So you have to, when you come into this rebuild, we would all love to say, hey, I drafted, you know, this generation's LeBron James, or I drafted Anthony Edwards, or I drafted whomever. But we don't know where that player's going to come from. And then what we don't know where he's going to come from. But when he does come, we got to be able to identify him, and he's got to develop.
And they invested in their developmental staff. They signed the shooting coach, Chip Englund, from the San Antonio Spurs, who's responsible for turning Kawhi Leonard from a player who no one worried about his jump shot into a player with an elite jump shot in the NBA. And he's worked wonders on numerous players throughout his career. then OKC went and recruited him to come and join their coaching staff. And
guys
like that, it's like...
Okay, well, here's the thing about shooting. I want to make this, and I'm not taking away from shooting coaches or anything. If it's one thing that every player or most players, the majority of the players, it's one thing you're going to improve on is shooting. Because you can't practice during the course of the year. All right? You're going to shoot better. It's one thing you're going to do.
You say that, but there are a lot of players who don't improve their shooting.
Okay, but a lot of times, what improves your shooting? The one thing that improves your shooting is you got to get shots. You got to get the shots. Yep. If you're the fourth or fifth option and you don't know where your shots are going to come from, everyone, you know, well, I don't talk about what happened or what I did in the NBA. I became a good shooter, Mo, in the NBA is because I knew the shots are where I knew the shots that I could make. And those are the shots I shot. I didn't shoot shots. I didn't know if I could make them.
So every shot you took, you thought was going in.
Yes, because I knew I had practiced those shots. But when I, and I'm saying this with humility, I'm not like when you practice. Well, if you are a shooter, right?
For reference, by the way, guys, BJ Armstrong is a 42.5 career 3-point shooter.
Okay. The reason I was able to become a good shooter because I knew the shots I took the shots I knew I could make. And when I got those shots, there wasn't a hesitation in shooting those shots. I encourage all young people, find a shot you know you can make.
Mm-hmm.
Bo, I could go to the gym right now and make 45 out of 50 threes right now.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't mean I could shoot though.
Yeah. Cause I do that. Okay. When no one's around. And it doesn't mean I can shoot
the game. I could go to the gym and make 48 out of 3 from the corners right now. That doesn't mean I could shoot. This is why I always laugh when Chuck would say, I'm grinding. Oh man, he's getting. No. You're practicing shots that you're not going to shoot in the game.
Yeah.
You're practicing shots. You don't know where your shots are going to come from. Find 2 or 3 shots that you know you can make and shoot those shots.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of your shots, if you're shooting 10 shots and seven of those shots are the shots you know you can make, you're probably going to shoot at least 50% from the field.
Yeah. And for reference, by the way, BJ's career 3-point shooting average would have been 10th in the NBA this season.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you just practice the shots. Now, you know, I joke about it, but I'm not really joking. There's only 3 types of shooters I've ever seen.
We know it.
Like, people want to tell me about, like, Jordan and Kobe and these guys. Well, those guys had a skill. But do you know how hard it is to be able to play against a defense? Catch the ball with 5 seconds, and you got to get a shot up in less than 2 or 3 dribbles. 3 dribbles max. 3 dribbles max.
Mm.
So these guys now are taking 15, 20 dribbles in a possession.
Hmm.
That's what it is. Do you know how hard it is, Mo, to be able to play in an NBA game and get up a shot in less than 3 dribbles?
No.
Okay. That, to me, is a talent. That's called creating a shot. Can you create a shot in 3 or less dribbles? That means your footwork has to be excellent. That means you have to understand angles. That means you have to understand read defenses, counter to that move, counter to that defense, and you're playing against 2 or more people every single time. That, to me, is what makes me say, wow. When the guy comes down, he's dribbling, Mo, 25, 30 times on 1 possession.
And field goals made this season with just 2 dribbles. Tyrese Maxey led the league. LeBron James, Bam Adebayo, Karl Anthony Towns, and Chris Middleton. And then Nikola Jokic, Jalen Suggs, Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves, Pascal Siakam.
Okay, that's... So when we start seeing that...
If we cut that down to 1 dribble... It goes to Joel Embiid, Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, because this is just post scorers. But then if we go to 3 to 6 dribbles, you have Donovan Mitchell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Paolo Banchero, Jalen Brunson, Devin Booker. And then when players took 7 or more dribbles per possession, Do you know who led the league? It was Jalen Brunson, followed by Shea, Luka, Donovan Mitchell, and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, that's what I look for. So all young players, shoot your shot.
That's a metaphor for life.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Shoot your shot. Whatever your shot is.
See, well, I don't know about scoring threes in the NBA, but if I get to
the elbows right now, I'm 57. If I get to the elbows in the gym, Mo, I'm making that shot. Mm. Like that's what I call, that's my sweet spot. Mm-hmm. That's home. When every team I ever played for, I encourage every guard, learn how to shoot that shot.
One dribble, pull up at the elbow.
Hey, stop screen roll. And pop. Hey, stop. Amen. And pop. Okay. Second shot, runner or floater, your choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you a guard and you can't shoot at the elbow and you don't have a runner or a floater, my question is, okay, what's going on here? These are unacceptable things if you're working with me. Elbow, that is your shot. Everybody, if Mo gets to the elbow, we had a slogan, rebound sucker. That's what you told all the bigs. If you see me get to the elbow,
go get a ball.
Go get the rebound.
I'm shooting
that. There's no doubt, Mo. That's an 80% shot for me under duress. An 80% shot. I'm getting to the elbow. Y'all call it mid-range. We call it the sweet spot. If you get that ball to that sweet spot, that ball is going up. There is no doubt what's happening if you get that ball there. There is no get it to the elbow and throw it out to the three. You get it to the elbow, the other four guys figure out what you're doing. Rebound. Okay. Next on the guard list, you got to have a floater or a runner. And then you figure out whether you got a corner three, top of the key three, fade away, whatever it is you're working with. But these are areas that you have to have in your repertoire. That just like, okay, let's just make that shot right there. Mo, let's just make, like, Jalen Brunson. Is there any doubt what he's doing once he gets to the elbow?
Mm-hmm. No, you know.
He's, once he gets in that lane, floater, runner, but he's patient, bumps you off. I mean, he does it and you're like, God, he makes it look so simple. But that's how we all play. But I know his dad, Rick Brunson. I played against his dad, Rick Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no doubt of why he plays the way he plays. You know what I mean? These are like things that are like, oh, but you know, now we're getting into new school, old school. No, it's just what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And that's that. That's another episode of the Hoogees podcast. A real, real episode for the basketball aficionados.
Oh, man.
The real lovers of the game. I hope you guys appreciate this one. Appreciate every time, BJ. And if you guys are listening, make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Join the Discord where you can have your questions answered. And until next time, get buckets.